This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
They bring him in to pitch to Bonds, and Bonds is hitting 309 with 17 hits and 7 home runs. 16, whoops, he's done it again. I mean, it's a joke. Holy mackerel. The Bonds hits two more. And the Giants lead 5-0, and so much for bringing in the left hand.
Vin Scully on the call 18 years ago today. I totally suspended the every five-year anniversary. There's an anniversary that matters. Right, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, so on and so forth. Any anniversary of any kind, it gives me something to work with. So 18 years ago today, April 3rd, 2002, Barry Bonds, now this is coming off of the 73 home run record-setting season of 2001. So he hit 73 home runs, comes back in 2002. Opening day was the second. He had two home runs opening day. And then that home run call right there was his second home run of the second game of the season. So two games into the season, Barry Bonds was on pace to hit 324 home runs. Even the giant-headed Barry at his apex couldn't maintain that pace. But off 73 home runs, and then he comes out opening day and hits two. And then the second game of the season, he hits two more. That accelerated the, you know what, a lot of the time we're just not going to pitch to him. The record for intentional walks to a batter in a season had been 45. Willie McCovey with the Giants in 1969, 45 intentional walks to McCovey. Barry Bonds in 2002 would be intentionally walked 68 times, breaking the record by more than half. Right, Nolan Ryan's strikeout record, 383 in a season. To break that record to the extent the intentional walk record was broken by Barry Bonds, a pitcher would have to strike out about 580 batters. Right, he didn't break the record. It obliterated it. Barry Bonds in 2002 only hit 46 home runs in just 403 at-bats. He hit 370 that year. Barry Bonds was 37 years old. Not a lot of infield hits. But he hit 370. OPS of 1,381. A number never reached by Babe Ruth, by Ted Williams, or by anyone else who's ever lived other than Barry Bonds. 68 intentional walks. 2003, he missed another couple of weeks of the season injured, so he only drew 61 intentional walks. But that year, again, ridiculous numbers. 45 home runs and 390 at-bats. Hit 341 at 38. So then in 2004, Barry Bonds was intentionally walked 120 times. The all-time record was 45. And Barry in successive years, 68, 61, then 120 times. When as a 39-year-old, by the way, playing his home games in a pitcher's park. AT&T, Oracle, Southwestern Bell, whatever they were calling it at the time. 39-year-old Barry Bonds, 362 batting average, 45 home runs and only 373 at-bats because he drew 232 walks, 120 of them intentional. How many of the other 112 were basically intentional? It's the most mind-numbing statistical season of all time. And even though Barry was obviously juiced beyond belief, no, we believed. Still just insane. Just insane. Numbers that Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, or anyone else never equaled. All right, cleanup items. I love how the sane, devoted alumni of schools just always have their schools back. Anonymous credit given. We killed a little time earlier talking about Any Given Sunday, and it was the aging veteran quarterback, Dennis Quaid, trying to hold off the much more mobile and exciting Steeman Willie Beeman, right, Del? Steeman Willie Beeman. You know where Steeman Willie Beeman played his college ball?
Wasn't it a school in Louisiana?
U of H.
Oh, really?
Steeman Willie Beeman. I had a level-headed, sane, at least to my knowledge, Cougar backer. Every talking about known. Hey, a Jamie Foxx character went to U of H. Hawaii? No, University of Houston. So there you go. A hypothetical pseudo Pro Bowler. If Steeman Willie Beeman went on to that level in Albuquerque. Earlier in the show, today's NCAA history note, we're going to run out of those at the beginning of the week. April 3rd, 1989, Michigan over Seton Hall, capping a run within a decade, unmatched by any sport in terms of the championship game, just being great year in, year out. And the decade really ends with the year that starts with zero, because at the beginning, there was the first year's year one. There is no year zero. But it just makes more sense to calculate them this way. So, hey, we're starting a new decade in 2020, when really we're ending a decade. Boy, are we ending a decade. But the 1980s, the national championship game of college basketball, you could have no use for college basketball. If you know how score is kept, you can appreciate this. As soon as CBS got the rights from NBC, here were their first eight national championship games. North Carolina, the Jordan shot over Georgetown, 63-62. 1983, Lorenzo Charles at the buzzer, NC State 54 over Willie Beeman's school, 54-52. 1984, the clunker of the eight. It was a nine-point game. Georgetown over U of H, 84-75. 1985, Villanova shocks Georgetown. Overrated in upset magnitude, but still momentous. 66-64. 1986, Louisville over Duke, 72-69. I will say that was not a one-score game. That was the last year before the three-point shot. First year of the three-point shot, Indiana 74, Syracuse 73. 1988. Kansas over Oklahoma, 83-79. A game that was 50-50 at halftime. Danny Manning and the Miracles slowed it down, won the national championship. And then the game from 31 years ago today, in overtime, Michigan over Seton Hall, 80-79. Ex-Rocket Glenn Rice. It's pretty far down the list of notable teams connected to Glenn Rice. Charlotte, Miami, and Michigan, certainly three that would rank ahead. But Glenn Rice set the record that still stands. Most points ever scored by a single player in one NCAA tournament. Six games since they went to the final and won the final. 184 points, so that's 30.66666 points per game. Man, Glenn Rice in that tournament from three, 27 out of 49, 55% from three, 57% overall from the floor, scored 31 points in the title game that wasn't the leading scorer. You're really good if you can name Seton Hall's leading scorer in that game. Second on the all-time NCAA tournament individual tournament scoring list, Bill Bradley, future New York Knick and politician, did it for Princeton in five games in 1965. Third all-time, the Big E. 1968, the regular season in which Hayes and the Cougars took down UCLA in the game of the century at the Astrodome. UCLA completely destroyed the Cougars in the rematch at the Final Four. But in five games in that tournament, Elvin Hayes scored 167 points. It's more than 33 points per game. Third highest total by an individual player in one NCAA tournament. But Glenn Rice, 31 years ago tonight, he was the man. And as I mentioned, I'm going to run out of time. I spent that night watching the game because I had to stop somewhere to watch the game. I was in the process of moving to Houston, driving from Morgantown, West Virginia. Spent the first night in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Day two, went to Graceland, Elvis's place in Memphis. Made my way toward Houston. I need to pull over. Otter Creek, Arkansas, probably some Holiday Inn or something. Tornado warnings. So everything I own, and it wasn't much as a 22-year-old kid, all loaded up in a little U-Haul attached to the back of the car, praying like mad, oh, let it all please be there and intact in the morning, or I'm stranded in Otter Creek, Arkansas. That's where I watched Michigan beat Seton Hall by one. And I made it down here. Been here since. Wouldn't have thunk that at the time. Hey, we made it through the week. We'll take it. Next week, we'll take that too. Beats the hell out of the alternatives. As always, appreciate your listening. Emailers and tweeters yet unresponded to. Give me a little time. I'll get there. Dell, thanks. Make the best of your weekend. We'll try it again on Monday. The usual suspects, try it next on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I am what every woman wants, right? A middle-aged, 400-pound fat man. They don't dream about me. They have nightmares about me. Let's be... So I was late getting here. I was supposed to go on earlier, but I got pulled over by the cops. Happens to me, too. Sorry. Well, let me tell you what happened. I was wearing a white shirt. Cop thought my airbag went off. That's wrong, right? It's wrong. Yeah. Fat lives matter. Fat lives.
There you go. Mike Rao, our comedian of the week on an FYF Friday. Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory, but we'll also have clips at 2:15, 3:15. Funny dude. So we're going to have some good times with him. But getting back to the show, Dell, Barry, and myself, as I said, Nick has the day off today. He's got to work Sunday. But Dell, I heard you guys talking this morning. You kind of like these new shifts that you guys do because you get full-blown days off now, right?
Yeah, to avoid saying this is a good thing, it's certainly not. A lot of people affected.
Yeah, don't pull the Granado card,
yeah,
I heard.
Yeah, yeah, but as far as how it's affected me, since that's a question, it's in question. I mean, well, it's fine. I work every other day, and this whole social distancing thing I've been doing since I was like 12, so it doesn't bother me.
You've been practicing for this your whole life.
Yeah,
huh?
I am the most prepared. I know some prominent figures are considered the most prepared. I am the most prepared for this.
Yeah.
Now you're not doing. Did you ever think about? You're not doing like every morning show, regardless with John and Lance, though, are you? Yeah, that's what I thought. Because you know, Nick,
I know
for
what
the most
he's
part,
doing.
Has stayed dedicated to the suspects, and I just wondered if you had even that thought had ever crossed your mind.
No. I guess we'd have to ask Nick this if it was. Hey, Nick. The Usual Suspects, if you guys were a morning show, hey, Nick, you want to get up at 5 o'clock every – or do you want to take – even when you don't have to? Or do you want to take those days off? I credit Nick, certainly. That's big what he's doing. It's just not in me, man. It's not part of my DNA.
At least you're honest about it.
I'm with you, Dale. There's no way I'm like – even if it was midday, like if AJ was like, you get every other day off, I'm not coming in. I'm going to take the day off. That's just the times we live in, right? Okay.
Well, Nick is a unique cat with that. Credit to him. And I wondered what day he would decide to take off because I knew he had a Sunday shift coming up. So, yeah,
yep.
I got no problems staying until 2. And as you know, Aaron will be following me, and then he'll run the blitz.
Oh, not that guy.
Oh, yeah. It's
boy.
Him.
Great.
Yeah, that's.
I wonder if I can convince him to take his shirt off.
No. And that would be the best for all parties involved.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you guys real quick because, Dell, you're on this. I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is very, very strange. I thought as much as I think ESPN on ESPN Crime is just so promoted on this station amongst the hosts and everybody on air busting each other's chops all the time.
Sure.
But I noticed that when – and, Del, I don't know if you, like, give John and Lance any, like, emails with links to, like, potential stories. But obviously we do a rundown, and the three of us put it together every day. I noticed that when Aaron Raybould does fill in, he sends – Barry and myself and I believe Nick, the rundown that he sends every day to the bench and to the Blitz. So we're only special when he's producing, but otherwise he excludes us from his daily emails of potential stories to the bench and the Blitz. Do you take offense to that, Barry? Because I think that's kind of shady.
So he sends his rundown, but his rundown is basically the one we get already, right?
No, uh-uh. So we get one from someone else in the office that goes to everybody on air. And then
right.
he has
we get two that way. We get yes. one from Craig, and then we get another one from the locker room.
Yes. Right. So then he has a separate one that he gets that he sends. It's called Sports and Stuff. And he sends it to Fred and Lance and AJ and – See, Creighton and Braddock, but he only he sends it to Fred, AJ, and Lance, and only includes you and me and Creighton and Braddock when he's producing our shows.
I think it's kind of
shady.
I'm not on it clearly. And to answer your question, I do, along with the guys, produce a rundown stories stuff. The same thing that you might do with Nick. He doesn't send it to me. It's only to Lance, notice, no John, but Lance makes appearances on the Blitz, so that's probably where that came from, and he hasn't made the adjustment to send to everyone.
Either that or he does by request only. Like, Lance probably asked for it because he liked some of the things on it, so he included him. But, I mean, even for the sake of saying, well, I worry about it being repetitive because we know how the Blitz can get about, you know, making sure their content is fresh that nobody else has talked about. I think during the course of the business day on ESPN, if you guys talked about it in the morning, there wouldn't be any harm done if we talked about it in the afternoon.
I don't care. I get enough emails as it is. So for me, if he is excluding us, I don't care. No, I'm whiny. You're the one that's complaining about it.
I'm asking a question.
You think Aaron has it out for you? Do you think Aaron has it out for you guys, or he just doesn't care? What do you think it is?
No, I think he hates Joel, and that's why he doesn't include us.
Gee, there's a shocker. Barry taking that tone, that direction.
I honestly don't care. I get two emails already from Craig in the locker room, and it's enough. I don't even use those emails or Aaron's, to be honest with you. I go to four websites and pull all the topics I want to talk about for the day from those four websites.
No,
that's it.
Pornhub should not be a show prep. Okay.
You know what? Big and Black 32. It's let's discuss.
Not as good as 33, but whatever.
And it just went there in a hurry. Alrighty.
We do need to talk about the different genres of porn one day with Dale, because I'd be interested to see what he's into.
Well, let's get into now. What do you want? No.
Okay, let's do it. So, are you a big Step Brothers guy?
No,
you a big Step Family guy?
No, actually, I am not.
We had a couple of crazy days, Dale, where we were talking about people that were into foot fetishes and other things, and then it kind of. It borderline touched on it, but then Barry kind of pulled it back to say, I'm not trying to get anybody to say what they're into, but he went right at you.
I like pretty feet.
Oh, you a foot guy?
No, that was Lance.
I like pretty feet.
Oh, okay. So is Lance a legit foot guy, or was he just saying that for radio?
I think he's a legit foot guy.
And okay.
But as he would say, he likes his wife's feet, no one else's feet. But
yeah,
he's a foot guy.
So he's got something more in common with Rex Ryan than we thought.
Yeah, he might have called him Cooper a turd, too. I don't know.
Now, Del, I'm not going to be racist and say you're an ass man because you're black.
But you're going to say I'm an ass man because I'm black?
No, I was going to say you're an ass man because you're a dude.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
What is that your body part of choice?
If I was going to pick one, that would be the best part of this particular woman that I'm building in this hypothetical world, yes, I would pick – Yeah, says that should be her best feature, at least in my eyes.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So and she could be saying ugly that, as all sin in the face.
But. Well, I mean, there are levels here. But if I'm talking about what I like, as I didn't even think about the face. I was thinking about all these superficial things that men point to as the things they like. Sure, of course, you have to look at this person maybe for the rest of your life. So sure, the face would be probably most important. But after that, we go to the butt.
But Del, literally different strokes for different folks in this case. But, you know, some people, Nick likes Taylor Swift and she has no ass. But, you know, other guys like a little junk in the trunk. So just now, because you're an ass man, there's a certain kind of ass that you are in favor of, right?
True. There are always levels to this. And I'm not looking for, as John would say, what James Harden's looking for when it comes to booty. We all have different levels. I mean, how graphic do I get with this? Let's just say
it's the suspects. If you can say it on air, we say it. We don't care.
I'd like a little shelf is what I'll say.
Okay. Yeah. Now let me ask you this. You were talking about the face does matter, but is it a sliding scale based on where her ass would rank on the scale? So if her, I'll stop saying ass so much. If her booty is a 7 and her face is a 3, that equals a 10.
No.
So as long like if her face is a 5, then the booty has to be at least a 5 to equal a 10.
I would say actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the face is probably more important. So I would say since we have to play in the 10 range, if she had a 7 or 8 in the face, I mean a 2 would be fine. Or the booty.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of
have a white girl ass as long as she's got a 7.
Now you insulting face. White girls. Not all white girls got pancake booty, Barry.
Very true.
That's okay.
And plus, they're all
Asian girls.
Not doing this game with you. Nope.
Granado is not on. He's
not playing this game. Nope. And all those girls are in the gym anyway. They get in the gym. They know the workouts. All the girls know. No, yeah, you're not playing this game with me. I'm not Granado.
Now, okay, so, but it is kind of a sliding scale. If she's got a 7 face, then a 3 booty.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say the face will determine how much booty is needed.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
So no other weird fetishes that you would tell us about?
I mean, you might call them weird. I wouldn't call them weird. I'm trying to think of what would be, no, I don't think
what's,
so.
What's the most viewed category on Pornhub for you?
Well, that you're a rookie if you're just sticking with Pornhub, by the way.
Do tell. Because, dude, I'm old.
Yeah, do you have a suspect site that people need to be aware of?
I've got I've got Pornhub and Google. And then I just pull those up and that's it. That's all I got. I don't even go to, like, news websites or Gmail or whatever. That's it.
See, I'm not even really of the tube guys, they call it. I mean, there's enough. You have the ability to download anything you like because porn is kind of free if you can find it. In terms of even the HD illegal stuff, if you want it that way. Not even illegal, but stuff that's ripped off of sites. So I don't even have to – you don't even have to feature – you don't have to go to Pornhub if you don't want to. If you don't mind downloading a torrent, you're okay.
Oh, look at you.
Look, the same way you might download Westworld Episode 3, you can download your favorite clip.
Downloading Blacked 17.
No, I wouldn't. No, it's once again, you keep getting the number wrong. It's 18.
Oh, my bad. Damn it. Well, I'm not. I got to catch up. Okay. So what categories do you download?
Categories don't matter to me. It's about the actor in the scene.
Oh, so you're in the thespians.
Oh, you have preferential porn stars.
I call them thespians of flesh, but yeah, sure, whatever you want to call them.
Fleshbians?
Yes.
Who's your favorite porn actress? And I'm making air quotes when I say actress.
I would actually have to step back and make a list.
Really?
Yes.
So you know their names?
No, not.
I couldn't tell you
not
a single person in the other than Mandingo. I know.
Why
no
would you
other
know?
Name.
Why would you know his name?
Jeez.
What is the matter with you? Why would you know his name?
I don't know. You know, every once in a while, one of those videos pops up, and you're just like, "Holy crap!"
No, what I meant by list, I'd actually have to. Oh, that's your name? I didn't know your name. That's what I mean.
Exactly. Okay. Good. I was gonna say because you know, most, if you know it, then that's creepy. If you know your porn actress's names.
You of the, oh, that's Mandingo. I noticed. I remember
you.
Oh,
come on. We've all seen those videos where you're like, okay, that's just.
I don't know. Joel's very silent on it. So apparently he hasn't seen those videos.
No, Joel's just, he doesn't want to get in trouble. And he doesn't want to say things he'll regret.
No, it's just that on an F Yeah Friday, you basically say F it, Barry's on a roll today, and you just get out of the way because you know there are certain topics that all he can do is possibly get me in trouble. So, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Look at that. No pun intended, we delved into. Huh? Okay, maybe I intended that.
Oh, boy. And your comedian friend would not be thrilled with you. Just
no, that was pretty terrible. Yeah. Joel liked it. That's why you know it was bad.
Nope. And by the way, that we should get into that too, because when I first started, Dell had the hatred on like.
Oh yeah,
that's not it's hate. Just, people get confused with hate.
Dell, it's okay to say you hated Joel.
No, it's not hate.
It's okay.
It's not hate. I didn't care. There's a difference.
No, you
between
cared
hate.
Enough to like play every freaking soundbite and clip of dad joke and killing everything that I said on every time I worked with anybody.
And you were
on the show.
That's my superpower.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, you used it well. Let me tell you something.
Well, Superman flies. Superman flies, right? Spider-Man uses the webs. This is what I do.
Del, at least you know it didn't affect him in any way. No, he's only bringing it up 3 years later.
Yeah, clearly. Didn't make an impact.
Yeah, because I still remember, like, everybody was so welcoming, and then there was Del to go, not so fast. Take that.
Welcome to the station, Joel.
Oh, that's
funny. That was the welcome moment for sure. All right, there's a half hour of the suspect. Still got 2.5 to go. We got Dell for 30 more minutes, and then we'll get Aaron Raybould in here as Barry and I take you through an F Yeah Friday right here on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick out, Dell in, as we continue with hour number one of the suspects on ESPN 97.5. It is Dell, myself, and Barry as we roll through an F Yeah Friday. Our comedian of the week is Mark Rayo.
Mike.
And we had one clip at 1:15. Mike, sorry. I'm Mike sorry. Rayo. We had one clip at 1:15, also 2:15 and 3:15 coming up. So you got that to look forward to, as well as a whole lot more. Right, Barry?
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I want to give a couple of shout-outs. One, to my cousin Tommy McGordy, who just got out of the hospital for getting transfusions for cancer and stem cells, and it's been a rough go. So shout out to him. I'm glad he's out and on the road to recovery. And then also shout out to Greg Vega Sr.
Yep.
We just got a random request for a shout out. Now this is all of a sudden turning into a hip hop station where we're just doing what's up, y'all? What you got to say? Also, dude. This whole work from home thing is affecting everybody, I believe, because I realize, so I don't have an office chair in my office. I'm using an old chair from our dining room. That's how unfancy I am, right?
Wait, this is the only thing in that house that's unfancy.
So, yeah, it's just, I went and got one of the dining room chairs, because Nora got, we had chairs around our table, and then she got a bench because that was like a big decorative thing that everybody was doing, was one long bench instead of individual chairs. So I just took one of them and put it in because my old office chair broke and I never bought another one because I've really never used this office until now. But last night I go online to buy an office chair, and they're selling, everyone that's worth a darn is sold out. Like, I guess everybody realized, oh crap, this is my new place of business for the extended period of time that we're going to be doing this. I better get a chair. All the good office chairs are sold out. I would have
never
expected that.
When you say good, in my mind, that means it has a virtual screen that somehow appears out of nowhere to put your computer in front of you. It has speakers in the headset. And of course, I just feel like you have a gaming chair on steroids in mind instead of just a chair that you'd find at our office.
Here's an example. I went to Staples and I found a really nice chair for it's regularly $230. That's nothing for an office chair. And it's on sale for $140. Sold out. Gone. And then I went to two other places for the chairs that I like. Gone. So AR Platinum had somebody sponsor him, you know, because of his big time YouTube channel. Yeah. And so he had sent me a link for a chair. So I may have to go get one from using his link and comment code or whatever code you get 30% off. Because, dude, there's like all the stuff for home offices is sold out now. People are freaking out. Like I went to buy a webcam. Sold out.
Pro tip, Barry. Mm-hmm. No one's in the office these days. Just take a drive, and with all the, you know, you have building access on every floor. I'm pretty sure there's a door that's been left open. I'm sure you could find one that's comfy. Just say you're borrowing it during the pandemic. You'll return it.
Are you suggesting that I steal?
No, borrow. I didn't say permanently borrow.
Oh. Okay. But this chair, man, I really, really dig this one chair. And
I bet you do. It vibrates. Sold out. Six speakers.
I will say this: at the Houston Improv, they have a chair in the back, in the office where all the managers sit. The general manager Raymond has his chair. It's what's that fancy place in the mall where they have all the
Sharper Image?
Yeah, it's like a Sharper Image chair. It's a desk chair. It's an office chair, but it's got like seven different places where it does a massage and it's heated and cooled and Bluetooth and like all the stuff that you were joking about is in this chair.
Yeah.
And I bet you that chair is like $1,000. I'd be willing to bet. Yeah.
At least. But with the way people use those gaming chairs these days and think that it's like a necessity and how big gaming is, I guarantee you that people are paying for those kind of chairs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like what used to be the, you know, necessities for a man cave with the big screen and the sound system and all that other stuff. It's now like necessities for serious gamers, and it's all about what kind of chair you got.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big thing. And that's I don't know if what AR Platinum had sent me was a gaming chair or not, but it does look a little futuristic. So I'm thinking it is some sort of, you know, because they have a very specific look to gaming chairs as opposed to just an office chair. But I was pretty disappointed that everybody's at home messing up my thing here.
Well, you think about it, too. And especially this was even before we got into the whole COVID-19. But the other thing that was taken to another level when we saw it started even before Peloton, it was Nordic Track and all of the different. You used to have a home gym where you had some free weights and a bench. Yep. And you maybe had a bike. Now you've got recumbent bikes, which then went to Nordic Tracks, which then went to the Pelotons. And now it's like, you saw this other one too? The mirror?
What?
You put up this thing on your wall.
I got those all over the house. I'm fancy.
Well, it looks like a full-length mirror, but essentially it's hooked up, I believe, via the web, where through your internet, into the mirror will appear like a trainer. And so you can watch yourself while you watch the trainer tell you what to do, you know, in terms of the workout.
Oh, my God. We're literally turning into the Jetsons.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is that's pretty fancy. So you just put it on the wall. You do your workout. And I'm guessing it's body weight or maybe, you know, dumbbells.
It's like, whether it's yoga or it's like, you know, you're doing your body weight lunges and squats and running in place and all these other things. But you literally put a mat on the floor for one of them, and then, you know, the guy shows up or the girl shows up in your mirror and says, okay, now give me, you know, 10 push-ups and lunges and things like that. And, you know, people can look at themselves while in the mirror is an instructor telling you what to do.
That's fascinating. How much is that?
I have no idea. I was shocked at how much a Peloton is, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You hadn't heard?
No. Was it like $3,000?
Yeah, pretty stupid.
That's crazy.
I spent $1,000 on my home gym, and I thought that was dumb.
Well, now you got to spend another just to get something to motivate you to use it.
Fact. 1,000% fact. I do not. You know, the damn cat is in that room more than I am.
As opposed to my house, where Lisa just bought a baby kind of a, what do they call those things? It's like a baby where the baby fits in it and can like bounce and stand if she wants, but otherwise it's kind of like got a tray all the way around her with all these different toys and things like that, so that she can put that in the workout room so that the baby can stay occupied so that she can either do the treadmill or ride the bike. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she's, yeah, yeah, she's serious again. Yep. I did run last night.
I was going to say, that means you've got to get serious again now. If she's working out, she's going to force you to work out. That's how
I have not been telling you all this stuff, because we've been more focused on you and your ability to stay away from it. But I have been, for a lot of different reasons, but I have been trying to stay pretty diligent in terms of minimum 5 days a week. So it's been helping.
Really?
Yep.
Look at you, man.
Yeah, so it's been helping. That's why I said yesterday, like in my garage, I have two benches and I have weights, and we have a treadmill in the garage as well and some other things. So I could do weights in the garage, and then I've been as much as possible trying to run at night or ride. I have a recumbent bike, or ride the bike when I get sore from running. But I've been trying to stick with it.
Good for you. That's good, man. I should. I am over here going, I wonder what the difference is between Cheez-Its and Cheese Nips. That's the life I'm living.
Taylor will tell you.
Really?
Taylor loves her some Cheez-Its, man. And I'll tell you what, you can put a grilled cheese and Cheez-Its down. Chances are those Cheez-Its are all gone before the first bite of grilled cheese happens. It drives me crazy, especially with being from Wisconsin and my love. She says she loves cheese, but she's totally in belief that there's real cheese in Cheez-Its, and that's why they're good for her.
Yeah, but what's the difference between the two?
Cheese Nips are, it's a different taste, and it's, I believe it's also, okay, it's obviously a smaller cracker, whatever you call it.
Is it?
Cheez-Its, which are the squares.
I love that you said it tastes different. Thank you, Einstein.
Cheese connoisseurs, man. Ketchups and cheese, I'm telling you. I got that going for me, which is nice. You got it going for you, too, because you got the suspects, and it's just hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. So we're going to continue to roll on. The music says we'll get to a break. When we come back, lots more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of hour number one means final segment with Dell, as he gets to get to his weekend after this. Then Aaron Rabel joins us. We appreciate Dell filling in and doing his normal shift, I guess, as Nick has run out of juice, needed some time to just detox, as he's got a Sunday ship too. So we miss Nick, but we appreciate you, Dell.
Thank you, Joel. And to be clear, it's not my normal shift. My normal shift would end at 11.
This is taxing for you.
Yes, Joel. Very taxing. It's arduous, I think, is what the word I'm using to describe it.
Oh, look out. It's Del Palillo with the big words.
Yeah. It's the Charlie and Del show. I don't know if you've heard. So, yeah.
Del Palillo. Actually, you know, has a ring to it. Wow. Hey, I know we were going to get some other things, but this just popped up. I don't know if you guys heard about this. This is awful. There's a guy by the name of Jason Hargrove who drove a bus in Detroit. 2 weeks ago, he posted on Facebook about his frustrations over risking his life to serve the community, not getting the same respect and consideration for his safety from some people, and the fact that while he's a public worker doing his job, they just had a woman that got on the bus and just started coughing front of him and making him feel very unsafe and uncomfortable. And now he has passed away from the coronavirus.
What?
Yes. So he passed. He 2 weeks ago, he posted about the passenger recklessly coughing. He posted a video to say how much it bothered and concerned him. and the fact that he is out here on the front lines doing his job and people don't have respect and consideration for him. And now he passes away of the coronavirus.
That's terrible.
Awful, just, man.
Yeah, that's not. Wow. I don't even know what to say. That's so messed up.
It really is.
I guess the kids and I hope that didn't come into play, but damn. I don't know what to say. That's
awful. And the fact is, you don't know, because you know his whole rant was about the fact that he's showing up for work every day. He's driving the bus, and he had people. He said on a March 21st video that a female passenger in her 40s or 50s got on his bus, coughed several times, never covered her mouth while he's out here as a public worker doing his job, trying to make an honest living to take care of his family.
Golly, man. People just stay crazy, home, man. You bunch of dicks. Stay home.
Well, I was gonna say, I was running yesterday, and there were you know, people scattered on the trails, and everybody was respectfully, you know, practicing social distancing. When you got close to somebody, they kind of bowed out, or you bowed out, so that there was enough space. And then I come up to this mom and her kid, and the kid's probably like 12. And she gets off the path, and she's like, come on, come on, come on, get over here. Not only does the kid not move and stay right in the middle of the path as I'm coming towards him, but he just coughs about 3 times. And I'm like, doesn't cover his mouth. And I'm looking, I'm going, really? And mom's not going to say, and mom doesn't say a word. I'm just like, come on, people. I mean, there has to be some level of respect, right?
You would think so. But people are jerks, so I doubt it.
Man. Just ridiculous.
Yep.
And we were talking the other just a few segments earlier when we were talking about the foot fetish thing, and then Rex Ryan's name came up. Did you happen to see see Rex Ryan this morning on Get Up go off on Amari Cooper?
No. What happened?
Well, Del, I think you've got the sound on it, but he did not hold back on one Amari Cooper and the recent signing of the Dallas Cowboys. Del's going to get that for you, but regardless of anything else, Barry, I think that we know in sports, the one thing you do is you just stick to topic, right? Whether you like him or not, or think he's worth the money or not. He called him a turd.
Oh, well, I mean, Rex has been called worse than that.
Well, besides the toes, but here's what it sounded like.
Well, I agree with Dan on the fact that I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell.
All right.
No way in hell would I have paid this guy. To me, you pay Dak Prescott. Forget all those numbers. That, you know, they're number one in the league because of Dak Prescott, not because of this guy. It's a deep draft at receiver. They made a huge mistake right here.
Barry?
Yeah, the name calling, I'm not above it, so I'm not going to judge him because I'll call names all day. Hey, what's the difference to calling somebody a jerk and a turd? I mean, really, or an idiot or a dumbass? I do think, though, that his point is kind of, I don't know that I necessarily agree. I mean, Amari Cooper is a top 10 receiver in the NFL, and he's got, his value has been proven. I mean, outside of Bill O'Brien, most people aren't going to pay you like a top 10 receiver if you're not. And again, present company and the Texans organization excluded.
But we've had this conversation in the past to not make it personal, right? I mean, you can criticize a guy on his abilities or lack thereof, but the name calling and things like that needs to be kind of taken out of the equation. And I heard what Lance and John were talking about.
I mean, why can't he do that? I mean, you and I do it. What's the difference?
But no, it's different if we're flipping each other crap. We mentioned Don Lemon and Cuomo the other night when they were going back and forth. But I mean, if you're like, obviously,
no, you and I call players names. What's the difference? I'll call Bill O'Brien an idiot. What's the difference between that and, you know, calling Amari Cooper a turd?
I think we use specific references like going after a fan or dumb move, you know, just making another really boneheaded move. But just to randomly call a guy a turd, I think that that kind of goes a little bit further. I don't know. I heard Lance made a great point too, that, you know, basically if you're going to go out and say something like that, you probably have inside information, whether it's someone that he knows on that coaching staff, or they even mentioned Jason Garrett, because now Jason Garrett's in New York. But, you know, maybe something that Jason Garrett had said to him, if they caught up. But it sounds like he has a little bit more intel than just the common critic when making the comments he made.
That could be. I mean, he may have insight, and you know this as well as anybody, Joel, because you have insight about people currently and in the past in the Rockets organization that you'll never say. But you know, if you tell somebody, hey, this player was like this, and they have a microphone in front of them, they're probably going to say it. They're not going to say who told them. They're not going to drop you in the grease. But right, they'll use that information to be critical. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that were the case. If somebody told Rex Ryan about this or their opinions on Amari Cooper, and that's, but look, he's still a top 10 receiver. Pay the man. And whether you want to call him a turd or not, I don't care. I mean, that's,
well,
to
and
me,
the other,
that's
the
not
other...
a big deal, because – because I'll call, if I think somebody's a turd, I'm gonna call him a turd.
I mean, and there's two different.
I mean, that's Rex is like that though. He's a flamboyant, kind of flashy, opinionated guy.
We talked about it though. That's the kind of guy you want in an analyst role with a major network, because he's not afraid to say what he feels, like a Kendrick Perkins as well. Whereas there are other guys that are so worried about rattling the cage or rocking the boat of the network that they're working for, that they're afraid to say those things, or they're afraid of the repercussions that come from a player, coach, or organization. So I give him credit for saying it. I just think that, you know, there's two different things. You can analyze whether Cooper's worth the money or not, and then you can analyze whether he was right in calling him a turd, as well as if he would have just said what he said about not, they shouldn't have paid him, and the reasons why. I think that's fine. I think I just thought he maybe taken it a little too far.
I don't know. Because I think his point was, look, all these things that he does makes him a turd.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just threw it out there because I thought, man, in an otherwise kind of tame week, boy, Rex Ryan didn't hold back on a Friday morning to give us some ammunition for the heading into the weekend as it relates to the Cowboys and Amari Cooper. So we have that. We've got lots more to get to. Dell, we wish you a great weekend, and we appreciate your efforts. Aaron Raybould will come in for Dell, and we'll get to hour number two of the show, where we can talk about Evan Gattis coming out and talking about his 2017 experience with the Houston Astros and the cheating scandal, amongst other things. Hour two's coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Jake was...